and welcome to Exceptional TV. My name is Karen Judd Smith, the founder of the Social Entrepreneurs Academy and creator of the Impact and Influence Formula, and I am your host today. Now, we're going to be talking about the importance of light in our lives with today's guest, Linda Butrigo. And before we dive into some of the intriguing information and insights about light, good light, bad light, I don't even know exactly what you go into, but clearly health is front and foremost. What I would like you to do is to tell us, Linda, a little bit about your life, how you got here. You're a doctor, right?
I am a functional medicine nutritionist, so I do have a master's degree in human nutrition, and I have some postgraduate work in functional medicine, postgraduate studies as well.
So you've got quite a background, and yet you've ended up in a rather unique or new cutting-edge space. So tell us a little bit about your journey, about how you got here.
How I got here. So that even begins with how did I get to health in the first place? Which I was just talking with Karen before we started here, that in my old life, I was in information technology, a whole different field, doing fine. It was great. But at age 26, I got horrible cystic acne. And these aren't just little zits. These are cysts. And they were all over my face, my neck. Long story short, I went to many dermatologists. They weren't helping me, but all I knew nothing of natural health at this point. All I knew was that when I stopped taking the antibiotics they prescribed to me for months and months on end, it would come raging back.
In other words, it wasn't resolved. It was masked.
Correct. Sort of. Yeah. And then I learned a little bit. I learned enough to think, okay, maybe it's hormonal. I'll ask for an endocrinologist referral. And I was denied by the insurance company saying, this is cosmetic. It's just acne. No.
Go away.
So after consulting some more dermatologists, because apparently that was all I was allowed to do, again, I didn't know anywhere else to go. The last one said, well, you should try Accutane. And not knowing any better, I thought, okay, it's worth a try. Until I was presented with a form, a legal form to sign, which made me promise to be on two forms of birth control because of the guaranteed severe birth defects in the event of pregnancy with this drug. So at this point, I walked away. I did not know what to do next, but I was fed up with the system, in other words. So I just started going online. This was the beginning of all of these wonderful wellness sites on the internet. So I got some good information and the library, of course. And within 2 years, I had cleared my skin and was on a journey of even helping family members get off of blood pressure medications and cholesterol medications and things like this. And I found myself just always in my free time reading up about natural health. So that's part one, right? And part two is that since I was doing this, I'll do it myself, I wound up getting a master's degree in nutrition. So I took it to the extreme, I think. Maybe I can go one step further, right? And become a doctor soon. But I took it pretty far, you know, thinking that I had to do it myself. You know, I was not aware that there were functional medicine doctors and chiropractors who do this sort of work and quite a number of wonderful practitioners out there at the time. So again, the do it yourself, I really took it far. But so I learned about nutrition. But now after school, a few years later, one of the doctors that I really admire and follow is a Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, and he is one of the top functional medicine doctors he helps the people who have seen 25, 30, 40 other doctors and not gotten help.
Right. Okay.
And one of the things he focuses on with them first is, what is your electromagnetic environment? Hmm. Are you sleeping with a Wi-Fi router on? Do you have the cell phone next to you? All of these varieties of issues with our modern technology because of their profound effect on parasites that people might have, yeast and fungal infections,
and
mold in
things,
the home.
There are things that people don't even want to know about, let alone believe that that it's possible. I mean, I grew up on a farm, so I know the dogs get parasites, the cats get parasites, the sheep get parasites, the cows get parasites. There's a good chance that the humans get parasites.
The humans do. A good 80% of us are walking around with them at any time. And I know that sounds horrible, but really
I mean,
is common.
Right. Anyway, and it's just that I know that that's one thing that, that almost everybody shudders when they hear it and then dismisses it because it's just such a naturally, instinctively icky kind of, that's a very special word, kind of thing.
It is a scientific term, icky. Yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So from there, you know, just this long story to where I got, right? So understanding this effect of electromagnetic fields on some of these pathogens that can really affect our health that are typically hidden from us. As you said, most of us don't really realize that these things play such a role in our health. I set out to learn more about electromagnetic fields. And in the course of that, in 2018, I happened upon the very first course for health professionals that is all about electromagnetic fields. And that's what I focused on cell phones, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and the effects of that.
Well, it's got to be new. It's got to be a new field because, gosh, really only 11 going on 11 years ago that smartphones really hit, which meant that then we've got internet kind of everywhere. And then we've got Bluetooth. We've now got IoT, you know, the Internet of Things. We've got all kinds of radio, garage doors open. I mean, basic to, you know, our smart homes. Yeah. It's new.
It's
relatively
yes
new.
And no. The exponential explosion of these devices and this type of radiation has really grown in the past 20
right.
years, and even in the last 10 and the last 5.
Yep.
As far as it being new, there have been various forms of electromagnetic fields, starting with the days of the telegraph that have affected people's health.
Well, the
it's
sun.
Just been, yeah. Well, we'll get into that. I wouldn't say the sun so much, but the man-made fields.
Okay,
the
man-made fields. But the sun is itself provides us with a little bit of electromagnetic radiation. So, yeah.
Yeah, and here's where I make the distinction between the natural electromagnetic fields and the artificial. So it's the artificial
right.
ones that have put us on a downward spiral in our health. It started slowly at first, but it really is picking up speed quite alarmingly at this point, as you have pointed out. So I found that once I delved into that area of knowledge that it was worse than I thought, and this is more fundamental than most people realize. As a nutritionist with, you know, again, graduate and postgraduate training in nutrition, I've come to realize that light is more important than food. And I'll repeat that. Light is more important than food. And we'll get into why that is.
That's a pretty strong statement.
It is. And I actually learned about that as part of the EMF education. Now, when you look at the electromagnetic spectrum, that does include light. That's everything from radio waves.
There's a huge spectrum of light. Yeah.
And the visible light is a small portion of that. And in taking this course, that was the first course for health professionals on the subject, there was some bonus material that introduced some other practitioners that didn't quite fit into the main body of it. Maybe some people listening have heard of a Dr. Jack Cruz. He's a neurosurgeon who really has opened a lot of eyes here in the alternative medicine health field to the importance of light. So this is my introduction.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, Jack Cruz then, and how did he capture your attention?
Well, just hearing him that first time, it was an interview, you know, similar to what we're doing here, and how he expounded upon the mechanisms that blue light in particular affects. Now, blue light is beneficial, but in nature, we only see blue light in sunshine. We would never see it after the sun sets. But here we are living quite artificially when you think about it. Ever since the invention of the light bulb, we have lit up the night and we have affected our circadian rhythms and the hormonal rhythms that go along with that. And particularly the modern light bulbs, our LEDs and fluorescents are quite heavy in the
In the
blue part
white,
of the
yeah.
spectrum. Yeah, they appear
Can
very white.
right they the, but that can be controlled, right? And so the but maybe that's another tech for, that's another question for another time, but in theory I would imagine that those we could tend to choose like a less bright white light.
We can. I mean, there are
Would that
the full spectrum lights, which those are helpful when we're in our offices, in our homes, in the daytime, should we need some extra light. The problem really comes at night.
I realized I apologize. I kind of jumped ahead a little bit. Let me bring you back around to okay, so you started going in this different direction, your own health and then your studies and then the new cutting edge stuff about electromagnetic light and its impact on our health. So where have you brought this and what have you found that is unique? You know, your message to people, I think, is unique. So we haven't gotten that far. I didn't let you get that far. So I want to hear what it is that you've been doing, not just what Jack did.
No, it's great. So in implementing this, now before this, there have been some biohackers talking about wearing your orange goggles at night an hour before bed, and I learned that this really isn't sufficient. This has to happen as the sun goes down, and it doesn't matter whether it's summertime and the sun's going down at 8:45 PM or whether it's winter and it's
And
starting
it
to
doesn't
set at
matter what time the
4:30.
clock says, it matters what the sun says.
It matters what the sun says, right? So we have been living by this human construct of time, of the clock. If we can get away from that to some extent and get closer to nature, this has a more profound effect, I have found in many cases, than getting into supplementation. Not to say there isn't a place for that. When it comes to supplements, I don't dive right in with a new client doing testing and supplementation because I don't believe in fighting an uphill battle with those supplements against the person's environment.
So you'd kind of call in this case, and I still want to draw out of you or hear from you more about how it works and why, if that's probably you probably don't know how it all works, but anyway, that's a lot of what we just work with what works. But I would it sounds to me like light in this sense is one of the big rocks. You know how you put the big
Yes.
rocks in a container first and then you put the little ones in later on. So you take care of the big rocks first. So that's what I
Yes.
heard you basically saying. Light is a big rock. It's more important than food.
It is. Not by a lot, because I wouldn't say eat pizza and sodas, and as long as you get
No,
your
no,
light
no.
right, you're fine, right? But it does play at least as fundamental a role as food. And I would argue more so. And this would be really eye-opening to people. And I think in an era where people are having trouble getting the food right, or so they think, I know some are definitely eating junk food, but others that I've worked with are eating well. They're eating whole foods, they're cooking at home, they're really trying their best. But they still can't get that weight off, or they still are feeling fatigued, they are not sleeping well. And these are the people I love to help, because so often I just get them out first thing in the morning, get that glass of water, or maybe when I'm first working with them, it's still coffee. I won't rip the coffee out of their hands right away. But take that glass of
you'll
water.
Be quiet.
You know?
You'll be quiet about that.
Right. But yeah. Eventually,
step at a time.
They'll let it go. But you'll take this outside to your backyard or to your patio, your balcony, and greet the sun. Ideally, we're going to see the sun rise for the absolute best results, but not everyone's there. I myself was a night owl for half a century before I turned it around. One thing that I have done a lot of work with clients in the past and studied is adrenal function. Mm-hmm. So the adrenal glands and how do they interact with the hypothalamus and the pituitary and the thyroid, and how does this affect our energy in particular, right? And our metabolism. And I myself was on one of these functional protocols for adrenal function for about 3 years. And I felt a little bit of a shift, an hour, maybe an hour and a half of earlier sleep, getting up a little bit earlier, but it was mostly going to bed quite a bit earlier because a normal bedtime for me was still about 11:30 or 12, despite reading the advice of getting your sleep the proper time. I still thought, I'm getting 8 hours, should it matter? Even though by this time already in the field, not realizing that it really does make a difference, which I know viscerally now.
Yeah, so how did you come to recognize that it really, really, that being a sun worshiper is a good idea?
Well, first of all, myself, I went from night owl to now waking up before my alarm about sunrise every day. And I still hardly recognize myself because it's fairly recent in the past year. Also with my clients consistently experience the same thing.
How did you come to the conclusion that this was making the difference?
Right. Seeing it happen in myself and in my clients, actually seeing that work, that something like a little $10 pair of goggles made more of a difference in a much faster amount of time. And that's where I was going with the protocol, that I was on that for 3 years and it barely moved the needle versus once I really understood how to use this properly, it took 3 weeks. And for my clients, it takes 2 to 3 weeks for them to shift from night owls to early birds. My latest one was a 70-year-old night owl who within 2.5 weeks, I had her going to bed at 9:30 instead of 1:30 or 2.
Wow.
She'd be out for a walk by 8:30 in the morning.
Well, that's a big difference, because after 70 years, it's not just a habit, it's a self-concept of who you are and how you live your life, and deeply embedded. So you part of the way you do that, you say, hey, get these orange glasses and put them on at night and go to sleep and wake up early.
Well, no, that's part of it. That's part of it. So
I'm being a little light here, but clearly there are very specific things that you ask people to do that help them make that shift, and so that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, they are specific, but they're very simple. So when I work with them, I will talk about the science behind it in some depth.
If they're interested,
not too deep, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, for my paying clients, I'm coaching one-on-one. I will talk about it, but it boils down to do these three simple things this week, or at least one of them, right?
Yeah.
But this is the fundamental one. So number one, we talked about sunlight a little bit. We touched on that and how it's beneficial, but it's not beneficial until you've taken this step to protect your eyes and skin from the effects of the artificial light at night. That is step one always. Because then step two is getting more sunlight.
Right.
And even the palest, most white-skinned person, I mean, unless they are truly unable to manufacture melanin in their skin, but most of us can start with 5 minutes a day at sunrise. and gradually increase from there. And the reason for this is that at sunrise, there is 100% infrared rays and 0% ultraviolet
right at
sunrise. Of course, as time goes on, that proportion of ultraviolet increases. But this is a very reliable way, a very safe way to help build up what's called the solar callus in the skin so that you're not at risk of developing skin cancer. Skin cancer, it's much like the couch potato deciding, well, I think I'll run the LA marathon tomorrow. It's not advisable. Same thing for the person who sits in their tech cave for 50 hours a week, day and night, and goes on vacation, right? So you don't go on this sunny beach vacation after all you've been doing is living in this junk light for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so part of what you're, what are some of the health benefits that you're talking about in terms of, because you spoke about your own experience, but in terms of your clients and some of the ones that you've seen go through this process and shift from being night owls to, you know, waking up with the whoever wakes up at, you know, when the cock crows or before. What are the general benefits that they see and feel in their lives that helps them stay with this, other than really enjoying? Mornings are wonderful.
Yeah, mornings are wonderful, but you know, you couldn't have convinced me of that when I was a night owl, because I just didn't feel good in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's what I generally get with people. They have to use an alarm to wake up, and I always thought that was such a mysterious thing. How do people do that? But so that's a practical aspect. You know, if you are living in the world that generally starts early, it really felt early to me, you know, in years past. But when it comes to optimizing your circadian rhythm to nature, as best we can anyway, this has a profound effect on our hormones and on our neurotransmitters. So how does this show up?
That's
the issue, right? So you put these on at sundown and your body now gets a different visual cue. There are receptors in the retina, there are receptors in our skin as well that pick up this blue light and tell us it's daytime. And in response to that, the brain is not producing melatonin.
Right.
So we are not getting sleepy when we ought to be, when the animals out there in the wild would be. So we are, with this simple device, blocking out that blue, blocking out that cue that would otherwise tell us that it's high noon when it's really 11 p.m. So that blue light destroys melatonin. So we've got this double whammy of destroying melatonin that we make and making less melatonin in the first place.
Right.
Melatonin is quite a popular supplement for this reason, but most people don't realize that that's why they need to take, they think they need to take melatonin. I actually don't agree with taking melatonin. I am more a proponent of getting your body to make more melatonin and keeping the melatonin that you do produce.
Right.
So that's one.
Yeah. Good. And number two?
Yeah, number two will be better quality sleep, again, because that melatonin is there in proper amounts. And another side effect, now these are the things that they notice, but melatonin, you know, isn't just about sleep. Melatonin is the most potent antioxidant that our body makes. It's also vital for our immune system. So right there, you are boosting your immune system, and you are making your body more resilient against not just infections, but even things like cancer, when you have sufficient melatonin in the body and you're not destroying that melatonin. But so we're getting sleepy earlier, sleeping better, and people are waking up, not just earlier, but more refreshed. So the both of my last couple of clients have made the same comment to me that they're no longer having an afternoon energy crash at 2 or 3 o'clock.
Right.
That's a very noticeable thing. and waking up feeling rested, whereas they didn't quite feel rested
Right.
before.
Because that's a big thing. I mean, just again, a lot of people just think that's the way it is. I had a pretty good sleep, but
But give me that coffee, right? Yeah, it's true. And the popularity of coffee is really strong evidence that, wow, there's this long line at Starbucks because people need this to function.
Or think I'm sure it's a little bit more
Think they need it to function, right? But again, what is the proportion of us living in artificial light at night,
Yeah, enormous,
right?
yeah.
Watching Netflix or YouTube or getting work done in the evening and staying up too late doing that.
Yeah.
So there are quite a number of ways that I work with people. Now, these are just the benefits that people notice in the first 2 or 3 weeks, right? Is that improved sleep, improved energy.
And they're
But
pretty pervasive types of things. I mean, they're often not, I mean, the things that take us to the doctor, for example, we're more likely to listen to a doctor when we've got something urgent and something painful and something exceedingly pressing. But these sorts of things are often, they're kind of a little bit below, kind of below the surface. We can still breathe, we can still operate, we're just kind of So how do you address that? I mean, I know that you see that those improvements, and people probably are surprised by the how much they feel better and how it helps almost every part of their lives. But it's a really hard thing to convince people who say, well, yeah, it could be, how do you, because
Well,
I, yeah.
people come to see me for deeper issues. It could be
Okay.
that stubborn weight that won't come off. It can be that, oh, well, I had a heart attack a couple of years ago, and I want to really make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to stay healthy. We've got definitely women in perimenopause and menopause with hormonal imbalances that are obvious to them at this point. And this is the key. This is one of the root things that I change for everybody. This just happens to be one of the tools I use. I don't advertise that, hey, I'm the light fairy and I'm going to help you.
That might work.
Yeah, right? Because it's too wild, really.
Just be the light doctor,
It's just one of the tools in my toolbox that they learn about once they work with me. But they're quite astounded by the results. And then they start to understand, like, wow, this is what I feel. And this just happened in a couple of
And
weeks.
then they
What
probably
else do I
start,
do?
yeah, and then they probably start. Would you say that there's also some level of awareness has to be cultivated in a person to be aware, just of their own, not just of the pain in their lives, but of the things that they're doing beyond, taking their supplements and getting on with their life. I guess there's just a self-awareness is that something you address or gets dealt with in the course of, even just,
So a self-awareness as in like the type A not driving themselves so hard, or what are you
I
referring to?
was just meaning more seeing the connections between what they do and how they feel, just more a functional awareness. Is there such a
I
thing? I don't
think,
know.
yeah, I'd say most of my clients do have some awareness, and it's typically surrounding food and exercise.
Okay, so there is some attention to it, and that may even be part of the self-selection of people who would reach out to you, maybe, or.
I believe so. Yes. I certainly like to help people at all levels, and maybe it's a function of being here in California that perhaps there's more awareness, more self-care in those two areas of nutrition and exercise than there might be, let's say, in the Midwest or something. So perhaps I'm fortunate there that there's a bit more awareness. On the other hand, yeah, I'm not getting the people who are having difficulty giving up pizza, for instance. You know, I'm
Right.
getting more people who have made changes to their diet, who are buying organic food and eating their vegetables, and just
Right.
wondering what's missing.
Right. Right. So they are aware that something is not quite right, and they are willing to be proactive about doing something and exploring
right.
it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, I guess the pizza lovers will definitely head for the traditional doctor's space more.
Well, maybe, you know, if they're open to perhaps a cauliflower pizza, it might be okay. You know, it just depends on that person's readiness.
I like cauliflower pizza. No.
they're tasty.
Yeah, they are. They are. They are. Yeah. So, anyway, fantastic. What are some of the biggest challenges that you find people have about either understanding the importance of light or, you know, these, the approach to health and wellness that you've taken, that you are taking?
Well, it is such a radical concept in a way. When you think about it, it's not new in the sense that, well, the wild animals don't have to learn to get more sunlight and stay away from fake light and what do they eat. But it's like we humans have been too smart for our own good, and our inventions have turned against us health-wise. What gets in the way, I think, is convenience. If people are loath to let go of the conveniences of life, our phones, our computers, I mean, we don't need to let go of them, but we do need to learn a wiser use of them.
Right, right.
But typically, I think once they have experienced the better sleep from our little 2-week experiment, they are more willing to make other changes. And harder than that, though, is getting family on board.
Yeah.
Husbands and children.
Yeah. Well, it just occurred to me, Linda, when you were saying then the 2-week experiment, did you say experiment or
test? I called
it
that.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like maybe it would be, you know, to turn, I've heard people use these in all different areas of things, but to do 2-week family challenges or something like that, where you get everybody on board just to do it all as a family for 2 weeks and just.
That's it. And even that's a long time. So
it is a long time. As I think when you're going to do it a month out, 2 weeks, yeah, I can handle that. But when you're about to leap into it the next day, you say, oh, 2 weeks, that's
hard. Sure. Yeah. And really all I ask of a family is 3 nights. So 3 nights without Wi-Fi and without any sort of cell phones or Bluetooth devices in the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And once everyone notices better sleep.
Yeah.
It's easier to get them on board.
Yeah. So the best way that you get people into this is through some kind of just do some kind of a little experiment almost with yourself and test it out. Is that?
Well, so again, I'm bringing people in the front door of, oh, I have thyroid issues, or I've got the weight gain, or I've got the hormonal problems.
Yeah.
So they come to work with me.
Okay. And they will listen to you.
I'm going to work with them on light first as part of it, right? But then they do listen at this point, and they think, "Wow, okay, I hired her, so I'll go ahead and try this out," right? And they are. I haven't run into anybody yet of my clients that just says, "No, this is crazy," or "It sounds crazy, but you know what? You're telling me to do it, so I'll try it out." You know, and the effects happen so quickly, it's hard to deny. So
So then, in other words, for your non-clients, you know, and there might be people who are listening who are not your clients, who knows, so you would recommend them to do what would you recommend them to do, a 3-day challenge?
Yeah, so a great 3-day challenge. Now remember, that whole spectrum of light includes now the microwave energy that runs the cell phones and Wi-Fi and such. So, as far as a 3-day test, I would do turn off the Wi-Fi router at night, and that could be as simple as unplugging it at night. Get the cell phones out of your bedroom and at least 20 feet away from you. Ideally, turn them off, but I understand that, we have jobs or we have family issues that we
And
can't
that's,
always do that. But just as long as it's somewhere else. So, my husband and I don't have kids, so, we have the bedroom door open, the phones are in the kitchen, we can hear them. The ringers are turned up loud with an obnoxious ringer so that they would wake us up. So we have that, and no Bluetooth in the bedroom. So no Alexa, no speakers, nothing of the kind there. Ideally, I would also have you unplug any bedside lamps or clocks as well. But that's even optional because I want people to at least get the taste of this experiment and do this for 3 nights and notice how you feel. Do you sleep better? Do you wake up more refreshed? There is usually quite a change that people do experience. I mean, even though if it's mild, it's only 3 nights. It's enough that they do start to understand in this visceral sense that, wow, maybe there is
It
something
makes a
to this.
difference, And so if they were beginning to notice something for 3 nights, they can always extend that challenge to a week to really, really test it out.
It's true. Yeah. And my husband and I will actually turn the circuits off at the breaker, except for the kitchen where the refrigerator is. We turn these circuits off, and there's this sense of calm when you do that, like when you're out camping. There's this sense of peace because there's this electromagnetic field that's missing, the artificial electromagnetic
You
field that
quite
is now shut
literally,
down.
you quite literally disconnected. I mean, in a way, when,
All right.
we're on
So
so much just as human beings these days.
we are. So it's another way. There's the visible light to pay attention to. Then there's also that invisible light, the electromagnetic fields, I should say, the artificial electromagnetic fields that are not of benefit to us.
So of those things, I mean, just you've got electricity in the house, and then you've got the lights, and then you've got refrigerator, this, that, and the other thing. And then you've mentioned specifically Bluetooth and cell phones and internet. Which are the ones, I mean, are there some that are better or worse than others, or that's not clear yet? They're just the cumulative effect of all of those things is problematic.
Yeah, there is a cumulative effect. However, the latest technology is in the microwave range. So these are the Wi-Fi operating at 2.4 and 5 gigahertz, Bluetooth operating at 2.4 gigahertz, and our cell service operating anywhere from 600 megahertz. And really getting higher and higher. We're up into 900 megahertz and getting into the gigahertz now as different flavors of 5G get rolled out. And yeah, and ultimately, 5G is going to be allowed to operate as high as 6 gigahertz. And with each increase in the frequency, we get new health issues that come along with it. Yeah, so there none of them are good. I mean, let's put it this way. Everything from the electricity coming out of the walls at 60 hertz here in the US does have some level of health effect negatively, but we really haven't paid a lot of attention to it. But some people are the canaries in the coal mine. I mean, there were people back in the days of the telegraph operators who got ill. Switchboard operators in the old days of telephone, they would often get ill. Railroad conductors and staff on the trains would get ill because there would be telegraph lines alongside the tracks, and later on it was electric lines alongside the tracks. So there I think we start with the most sensitive people getting sick first, but as there are more and more layers of technology, more and more layers of these frequencies being transmitted out there, more people are affected. And it's the same is true today. Just as an aside, if someone really would like to dive into this and is interested, the history of electromagnetic fields and their health effects since the days of the telegraph up until today's 5G satellites being launched, the book called The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg is fascinating. If you're a nerd like me about this stuff, about health and about electromagnetic fields, it really does read well, though. It's not like a dense read. It is quite fascinating. And all the supporting sciences here and what were the medical community talking about in relation to this technology at the time, and what were the experiences of people, and what are the experiences that people are having today? Because even as the latest satellites are being launched by Tesla and by Amazon and a number of different companies, there are more reports of people who developed new symptoms on that day. And they didn't know that these things were going up. But that has been another data set that Arthur Furstenberg has been collecting.
And I'm sure that kind of information, I mean, with so much information around the world, of course, there's just giga amounts of, you know, Google, more than Google amounts of information. But the real critical thing is when people start to look, you know, in that mass of information for patterns that were not there before, you know, I mean, even just now, you know, one of the ways, this is talking about COVID, but, you know, probably one of the better ways to figure out how many people have actually died mostly from COVID, maybe, is to look at how many people died in the same period of time last year compared to how many died in the same period of time this year. Not just how many people tested for COVID, because not everybody's been tested, and there's all kinds of issues there. But comparisons before and after. And I'm assuming that incrementally there will be much more research and done on this sort of thing.
I would hope so. And it is difficult, right? Because there are so many other toxins that are in the world that are also growing quite quickly, right? Our herbicides and pesticides and the chemicals that are dumped into our water supplies. And, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg there. So it's quite a busy place to study environmental effects of all kinds. And there is no control group.
Well, all you can do is reference in those situations, you know, what was done in the same period of time prior and then after. And I guess given that there really is still now an escalation, more noticeable escalation of technology and spectrum stuff, good scientific language, then whereas food production and herbicides, pesticides, all of those things have been probably fairly consistent, you know, for a period of time. So it's a little bit, there is a little bit of place in there to look at the difference, the impact, I think.
But I'd say that's true because this is the realm that has changed the most quickly.
Biggest difference in the shortest space of time. So, in some ways, this is just a fascinating area that, how many people talk about this? I guess you've got, I don't know whether, years and years and years ago, I remember getting a pair of blue blockers. So what you're recommending about basically the same thing, block the blue light.
So back in the, 70s, 80s, those blue blockers, and they still make them, by the way, and they are effective. So I have sources that have tested these, and that's actually one of the glasses that tests quite well. However, those are sold as sunglasses. And you absolutely do not want to wear those in the sun because then you're blocking that beneficial blue light at the time that it's beneficial. Not beneficial at night when you're not supposed to be seeing blue in the spectrum.
So wear your regular sunglasses in the daytime and wear your blue blockers at nighttime.
That's another discussion. No sunglasses ever. No sunglasses. Maybe if it's an extremely high glare situation, like and on the ocean or on a ski slope, but otherwise, no. We didn't get into a lot of detail on that about why that is, but essentially in the sunlight now, you are getting the cue first thing in the morning of, okay, now, because I'm getting this cue at this time, that's a cue that your body uses to make melatonin at the right time in the evening. It also stimulates dopamine production, so you'll just feel better right then. It also stimulates serotonin production over time. And you can think of dopamine as the reward neurotransmitter that makes you feel better in the moment.
Right.
Serotonin is more of the contentment, long-term sort of happiness. Mm. And that will also get enhanced by sunlight, especially at the right time. Right. It also optimizes your leptin production. And leptin is the hormone that's going to tell you when you're satiated by food. Mm. And so if you're low in leptin, you'll just tend to overeat.
Yeah.
It will also help to optimize insulin. And obviously insulin is important in regulating our blood sugar.
Right.
And also insulin can be thought of as the master hormone. And if insulin is out of balance, you're not going to have much luck balancing out your estrogen or testosterone or thyroid hormone, etc. Yeah, just a few of those profound shifts that we make. So
because I guess one of
the effects.
I was just going to say one of the things that you made me think of is just that with all of the, you know, the technological development, our industrial revolutions and all of these things, but the reality is, however, our physical bodies are still as ancient as what they were when we were living in caves. And so, you know, our bodies haven't learned to live with what we're putting them through at this stage, and to kind of note that. I mean, that's to me just a thing to keep in mind.
Yes, exactly. And this is really what everything I do comes back to, getting back to nature as much as we can. Obviously, not many of us are going to elect to go live out in the wilderness off the grid. I mean, that would be ideal health-wise, but I don't think many of us would thrive. Out there. We don't know how to do that anymore. But how close to nature can we get while still living our modern lives? We can still get close enough that we're going to make a significant positive impact. So simple things like the light hygiene, simple things like making sure that the technology is all off and out of the bedroom at night. Just these simple things are a great start. Of course, getting the freshest food you can, being really forward on vegetables and you know, some limited fruits, but really vegetables are going to be the focus of your meals. When you eat meats, though, you want to check the quality of them. Does it come from a farm? A factory operation? Or does it come from a real old-fashioned farm where they're eating pasture and they're getting their sunlight? And they're not loaded up with antibiotics, et cetera, et cetera. Paying attention that every little input that you can is closer to nature.
Because it's cumulative. I grew up on one of those farms where the cows ate green grass in the pasture. Well, in the winter they ate hay because there wasn't so much green grass. But but it was a much more. The cows were happy. But yeah, that's not the case everywhere by any means. And I wondered why, when I first came to America, I wondered why the butter was so pale. It was like, that's butter? I mean, that was just a simple little thing, but, you know, eating green grass does make, you know, rather than corn, makes a difference.
Well, animals eating what they are supposed to be eating really does. I mean, healthy cow versus one that has indigestion all the time and needs antacids and antibiotics. No.
Anyway, we're so getting, this has been fascinating, Linda. Now we do have a few minutes left, and I wanted to invite you, because I would really like for anybody to, who's got more questions for you, who wants to connect with you, wants to, touch base. How would they do that?
Yeah, thank you. I would love to connect with anybody who has questions. You can reach me at linda@cleanbalancedwellness.com. And my first name is Lynda at
And
cleanbalancedwellness.com.
I'll try to be good and put that in the right below here. There we go.
Great. Then I also have my little giveaway to get to know me is 6 things to avoid for a healthy thyroid. So this gives you an example of how some of these environmental things that I consider as I work with people, and it's a nice little handy guide that'll teach you some things about what to get out of the kitchen or get out of the bathroom or. And it does talk a bit
Oh,
about
fantastic.
EMFs as well, and that's available at my website, cleanbalancedwellness.com. And it's.
And that is on the screen for those that it's the QR code. So you can just pick up your
Oh,
mobile
great.
phone and punch that in, and it'll go straight to the site. It's also going to be below on the replay below. We'll have that information. But definitely, we want you people to connect with Linda for any questions. Maybe you're even working in this area and you'd just love to collaborate with Linda. Who knows? Anyway, thank you for that, Linda. And the 6 things would be fantastic to have. So thank you. Thank you for providing that for everybody. So let me see where we are. I think, we've still got a couple of minutes. So what I want to do is ask you, if you knew all that you know today, that's a big lie. I saw the eyes go wide.
Yeah. Don't we all
How,
wish we knew that? Yeah.
how would you do things differently, even say 10, 20 years ago? I'm assuming you're older than 20,
Yes.
but not much.
Well, more than you think, more than you think. Yes. As I said, it wasn't that long ago that I still thought, hey, as long as I'm getting 8 hours, does it really matter when? I would shift that. I would be taking this advice already. I would have been getting up earlier. I would have been, I think, reaching out to more people with that message at the time as well. Well, I'm doing it now. Better later than never. Certainly, knowing about light has had such a profound effect on myself. I certainly would be doing that. I would be 10 years ago. I mean, that certainly would have made a difference in my focus as I had left school and started my practice as well.
And even just how probably how you would talk to your friends and the life choices that you would make going forward.
Yes, of course, I made them at this point, but they would have happened sooner. I would have gained all the more benefit from that, doing it earlier. But the time is now, right?
We can't go back. It's just
You
for
can't.
perspective and for insight, and it's oftentimes an interesting question to consider how differently we or how we might advise our young selves. Not that our young selves would ever always listen to somebody else, but still, we do listen to one another sometimes more than we know. So it's good to
That's
ponder.
true. Yes.
Good to ponder. Well, Linda, it's been really fascinating. To me, you are Dr. Light, and not LITE, LIGHT. So I thank you so much for that. And if you've got any closing remarks
There
other
is
than.
so much to add, but I do want to say that it's been a pleasure. I'm honored to be asked to be on your show today. And I'm so glad to be able to share this with anyone and everyone who will listen. And just remember that food is information, light is information, and be sure to give your body the best, most natural information you can, and you'll find your best health.
That about wraps it up for us today. I want to say thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. And I look forward to seeing you all back for our show again next same time next week for Exceptional TV. And we will have another speaker for you. That information will be coming up. Don't forget to get that information, the 6 tips from Linda. Look forward to seeing you next week. Bye. Thank you.